Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from student pastor Josh Barnett.
As Christians, as believers, God has not called us to wallow in our sin. He's not called us to wallow in our sin. He has overcome sin. He has overcome sin. You know, many times believers live in a way that, well, when I hit that sweet by and by, when I die, well, then I won't have to struggle anymore. Then I won't have to keep living in this cycle of sin anymore. And I want you to know this morning that God has overcome sin. Jesus didn't just die on the cross to save us from hell. He died on the cross to save us from sin. He died on the cross so we don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to sin anymore. We can choose Him every time. The same Spirit, come on, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, so I have the power now to choose Him over my flesh every time. He gives me that option every time to choose Him. Turn to Romans 7 with me real quick. We're going to start in the Word this morning. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read the end of 7, beginning of 8. We're going to start in verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Rome. In verse 18, he says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin that is living within me. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Okay, now a lot of people stop reading here, and they go, well, the Apostle Paul, he struggled. The Apostle Paul was struggling with sin, and a lot of people will use this as an excuse to continue in their cycle of sin. Well, if the Apostle Paul couldn't get out, then I can't get out. And we don't go on to verse 25 that says, thank God the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to save me from this cycle. He's going to save me. What the Apostle Paul is showing us is how a Christian or a believer lives their life on their own when they're trying to live it without the power that Jesus gave us access to. This is a miserable person trying to white-knuckle the steering wheel of life and think it's going to work out okay for him. Instead of tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, instead of having a relationship with Jesus and letting Him make my decisions instead of me. But thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. See how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Chapter 8, this is continuing here. It's broken up in chapters, but same train of thought that Paul is going through here. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like ours that sinners have. In that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And he goes on to talk about how we are now adopted. We are now children of God, and our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you have a choice. Chapter 7, this is a Christian trying to do it, follow the law through his own willpower, and he's miserable. Chapter 8, you've been given a strong will, a will that lives on the inside of you that is free from the power of sin. You are no longer a slave. You are a child of God. God has offered us freedom from sin and the power to do his will. We have to be strong-willed. Being strong-willed builds a strong life. Will is the power of control, the power the mind has over its own actions, the power of choosing one's own actions. That is what our will is. Will is the power of control, the power the mind has over its own actions, the power of choosing one's own actions. Now, when I hear will or strong will, I think of strong-willed children. Anybody else think of that? Strong-willed? You ever dealt with any strong-willed children? Well, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old right now. I think that most 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds are probably strong-willed. But it's that defiant attitude, you know? That defiant attitude where I know what you told me, Mom. I know what you told me, Dad, but I'm stiffening my back and I'm throwing my fist down and I'm going to scream because I want that candy bar. Right? We all deal with that. Now, the Bible calls us to drive that rebellion out. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. We're supposed to drive, we believe in spankings in this church. We drive that rebellion out. But I just want to take that real quick. And that strong-willed child, I think we're supposed to be a strong-willed child of God where we have a defiant attitude towards our sin. Where we, no, I am not doing that. Be strong. God has given me power. I am not doing that. I'm not giving in to my flesh. I'm going to be strong-willed. I'm going to stand defiant against that. I'm going to wage war against my sin. I'm going to drag it out into the open, and I'm going to kill it. I'm going to go in my back room. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to say that only one of us is leaving this room, and it ain't the sin. It's me. I'm a child of God. I'm going to be defiant towards that. In 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul said that he beat his body into submission. It's pretty serious. Now, God gave us a free will. He gave us a free choice. In Genesis chapter 2, he put 2 trees in the garden. Talks about the 2 trees in the garden. There's a tree of life, Adam. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life is yours. Tree of knowledge, don't touch it. And why did God do that? God do that so we wouldn't be mindless robots where we only had one choice. He did that so that we could choose him. So he wasn't forcing love on us, making his mindless minions. He wanted us to choose him. Now, there's always 2 trees in our garden. There's always 2 trees in our garden. We can always choose life or choose death. We always have that choice. But God doesn't set the 2 trees in our garden to set us up for punishment. Many people have that well, if I do this, God's going to punish me. Why don't we switch gears and have the mentality is if I choose life, I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to be rewarded by my good Father. So he sets this free will choice up, not for punishment's sake, but for reward's sake, saying, I have come to bring you life. I've come to bring you life more abundantly. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be easy every time to choose me? Absolutely not. And sometimes it's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. But guess what? When I choose life, I have a strong life. Life flourishes around me. My relationships flourish. My home flourishes. And in overflow, the community, the state, the nation will flourish if we choose him. If we choose him, we always have that choice. So how do we move our free will into being strong-willed that is used for the glory of God? I want my will to be something that chases after the things of God, a will that lines up with God's will. A trained will. I want to be naturally repulsed by evil. I want a will that's been transformed by the revelation of the knowledge of God. I want a will that longs to build his kingdom. 2 men I want to look at real quick. Genesis chapter 39, familiar story of a man named Joseph. And Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers, but dude works his way up in Potiphar's house. And he is in charge of everything. Captain of Pharaoh, he's in charge of everything in Potiphar's home. And then Potiphar's wife comes along. And see, man, Joseph looks good. Looking good. She wants some of Joseph. And she comes after him day after day. And at one point where she grabs him, he runs away from her. She tears off his cloak. I mean, this woman is crazy. Tears off his cloak. He runs away. She lies about what happened. He's put in prison. Now, many times, like, that looks like a demotion to us, but we have to understand in the spiritual world, Joseph was just promoted. And he was setting himself up for when he got out of prison, because he chased God's dreams and didn't chase this moment of pleasure, he was not only in charge of the captain of the captain of Pharaoh. He was in charge of Pharaoh's land. He was second. He answered only to Pharaoh, and he saved the nations from starvation because he was interested in bringing God's will to the earth. He was chasing God's dreams, not his own dreams. The other man, 2 Samuel chapter 11, familiar story, David and Bathsheba. King David had conquered most of Israel. He is riding large, riding big, and he's out taking a midday nap, taking a stroll on his palace, thinking, I've arrived. He took his eyes on what God was calling him to do, took them off of what God is calling him to do, let his will get away from him, and he made a decision to sleep with a woman who wasn't his wife, and then had her husband killed. David gave in to a very weak will. David became satisfied, apathetic, felt like he arrived, and he let his guard down. Joseph kept his eyes on what God called him to do, while David let his eyes wander. I love this verse. Proverbs 29:18 says, for the lack of vision, the people perish. I love the New King James Version says, for the lack of prophetic vision, the people will cast off restraint. For the lack of prophetic vision, the people will cast off restraint. If we do not have God's vision for our life and what he has called us to do, then we will just throw off all restraint and live however we want, like David did in this moment. But that is miserable, and David paid for it for the rest of his life, having a weak will. He paid for it with his kids, with his sons. He faced the consequences, while Joseph flourished and his family flourished because he chased God's dream for his life. Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It's going to take all that we are. Loving God, I love how it says all of these. Jesus said, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. With everything that you are, love me. With everything that you are, love me. And it's amazing, even with all of our strength, we're still too weak. If we could be strong enough on our own, then we would just dismiss the cross of Christ. If we could be strong enough on our own, we could just dismiss the cross. Jesus came so that he could put his righteousness on us, so that he could put the wedding garments on us, so that we could be made holy before the Lord. We can't do it without him. Jesus came to give us his strength. Jesus came so that we could be filled with his Spirit. In order to have a strong life, we have to be strong-willed. We're going to have to purpose some resolutions in our heart and our mind. Many times we let our passions get away from us. David was a very passionate man, and he let his passions get away from us. And I want you to know this morning, if you cannot strong-arm your passions will strong-arm you. If you cannot strong-arm your passions will strong-arm you. If you're controlled by your passions, you will not have a strong life. David worshiped God passionately. He was known after after God's own heart. But when he let the passions of his flesh control him, we see what happened. Now, our passions, our appetites, God puts things inside of us that are like fire. They're like fire. But fire is only good when it is controlled. Fire is only good when man can control it and use it for his purposes. But when fire gets out of control, it burns the city down. So is your home on love with the fire of God, or is your home burning down because of your lust? Is your home on fire with the love of God, or is it burning down because of your pride? We have to be able to control our passions. Jesus was a very passionate man. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus being moved with compassion for people. You read that, you see over and over again, Jesus saw them and he had compassion on them. He was overwhelmed with compassion. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. He was brought to tears. And every time you see that, every time you see Jesus moved to compassion, what always follows? Great transformation. Great miracles. People being raised back to life. People being healed because he had compassion on people. And I want to challenge us this morning that God has called us to walk just like that. He's called us to walk just like that. If we will pray, God, give me the passions, the desires of your heart. Let me bring your will on earth as it is in heaven. Let me see people the way that you see them. And then we will walk just like he walked. Ephesians chapter 5, imitate God. Imitate God and walk in love in all that you do. Jesus walked this way because he surrendered his will to his Father's will. In John chapter 12, it says, only what the Father tells him to say, only what the Father tells him to do. That's all he did. He only said what the Father told him to say and only did what the Father told him to do. In Luke 22, he said, "Not my will be done, but yours, Father." And only with this mindset will we be able to control our flesh, put to death our flesh, live by the Spirit, use the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus overcame so that we could overcome. It doesn't, church, it doesn't matter what we feel like. Doesn't matter what we feel like. It doesn't matter what we want to do. It matters what God says. Living by your feelings is a very weak way to live. Living by your feelings is a very weak will, and you'll have a very weak life if you're led by your feelings. If you live by your feelings are your God, and God is not your God. Is your willpower strong enough to overcome your feelings? Do your feelings determine truth? Or do you filter your feelings through truth? And I want to challenge us with this, church. What we do in secret is the God that we worship. What we do in secret is the God that we worship. What do you run to when nobody else is around? That's a big revealer of our heart. What do we go to when nobody, when life is frustrating, when life is hard? What happens in the secret place? Do we run to the feet of Jesus? Or do we run to the TV? Do we run to pornography? It's just as bad inside the church as it is outside the church. A lot of stats show us 65% of Christian men that go to church admit to watching it at least once a month. 15% of Christian women. Those are the ones who would admit it. So I would expect that number to be even higher of what really happened. This is something that we cannot let happen in the church. This is something that we have to put our foot down and be defiant towards. We cannot let this happen. 9 out of 10 boys will see it before they turn 18 years old. I do a pretty big teaching on this for our young people at our high school camp called High Point. The University of Montreal in Canada tried to do a study on single males under the age of 21 who had never viewed pornography. And they had to call it off because they couldn't find any. This is something that we have to deal with, that we have to set our foot down. Now, parents, if your teen comes to you and tells you that they've been watching this, don't freak out. If you freak out, guess who they're not going to come to next time? You need to sit down and game plan with them. You need to sit down and teach them how to have a strong will, how to be filled. Listen, it's only through the power of Jesus that you can overcome this. Speaking from personal experience from a teenage boy, it's only through the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, that this can be overcome. Many people have affairs because they don't make their will submit to God's will. We don't understand that God's will was for us to never be intimate with anyone other than our spouse. But you don't understand, she doesn't do this, or he doesn't do this, or he treats me this way, or she treats me this. That's feelings. That's feelings. It's about his will. What has he called you to do in your marriage? Maybe greed controls us. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You can't love both God and money. How much is your integrity worth? Maybe pride. It takes a strong will to serve. It's easy to let other people serve you. It's easy to just be the boss. It's easy to think yourself better instead of walking humbly before all. It takes a strong will to be meek. It takes real strength to humble yourself. Man, it takes strength to humble yourself. To apologize to people? Whew, that's tough. Any other men in here, you sit down with your family and apologize to them because you flew off the handle? Come on. That is one of the hardest things to do, to admit that you were wrong. That's that pride coming up, that pride getting in the way. Takes a strong will to submit to authority. Maybe anger gets the best of us. How do we treat our wives and kids? Wives, how do you treat your husband when he said he would mow the lawn and it's been 3 weeks? How do we respond to frustration? What thoughts and words come out when you get a flat tire and you were busy and you had somewhere to go? Just a little tip for us. Just live your life ready to be frustrated. Just know that your day tomorrow is not going to go the way that you planned it. It never does. If you will just live expecting to be frustrated, it's not that frustrating. Just live expecting to be frustrated. So now what I really have tried to gear myself to do is just understand my boys are going to destroy the house. I just understand right now I can't have nice things. I understand that my son is probably going to crawl on my truck when I'm not around. He's going to pull it into gear and back it down the driveway into a tree. These things happen. And I can be frustrated or mad, or I can understand he's 4 years old. I can understand that these things are going to happen. We were driving, some of us, me, Brandon, Courtney, Pastor Paul, Pastor Jason, we went to this conference in Oklahoma this past week. On our way back, late Thursday night, driving home, all of us are ready to get home. I'm in a car with Brandon and Claire, and Jason's driving the van with Paul, Courtney, and Anderson, and they call us 11:30, 12, we're in the middle of nowhere, right in between Oklahoma, which Oklahoma is nowhere everywhere, Oklahoma to, sorry if you're from Oklahoma, there's Tulsa and OKC and nothing else, but we were right on the border in between Oklahoma and Arkansas, and Paul calls us and said the van is spitting out oil, that's smoking everywhere, they had to pull over, there's no way that they're going to be able to drive it, and so we had to get a tow truck, and at that moment, it would be really easy to be frustrated. We're tired. We've been gone all week. We've been at a conference from morning till way past dark every night. None of us had gotten a whole lot of sleep. And so we could be frustrated, or we could see that that tow truck man needed to encounter some real Christians. Because guess what? Courtney, Paul, and Jason got in that with that tow truck guy for over an hour. And guess what? He got a lot of Jesus. A lot of Jesus. I went to bed at 5 a.m. knowing that one man's destination may be changed forever. And so how could I be frustrated at that? How could I get mad at that? Let's look for opportunities in those frustration in life. Let's understand, don't get angry. Understand that our job is to bring His will here on earth. Good. Here on earth. Students, it takes a strong will to do your work. It takes a strong will to study. It's easy to cheat and be lazy and not care. And I know school's not in right now, but it's coming up. And it's going to take a strong will to stay focused from August to May. And understand that you're being trained right now because pretty soon it's going to be August to the rest of your life. And you're being trained right now to stay honed in, to stay locked into what God has called you to do. Because the easy thing is not to be up late. The easy thing is to sleep in Saturday morning. But once you have kids, you don't get to sleep in Saturday morning. And so right now God is training you to have a strong will. Maybe we're struggling with alcohol or medications or marijuana. Yeah, but it's legal. I can do that. I'm of age. 1 Corinthians 6, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Come on, man, it's legal. It'll master you. Come on, it's just one drink, and then it's two, and then it's three. It'll master you. Don't ever ask how something makes you feel or how it benefits you. Ask if it benefits God's kingdom. Ask if it benefits your relationship with Him. Ask if it benefits your family. Does this produce the things of God? Does this produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, or does it make you selfish and lazy and angry? 1 Thessalonians 5:6, stay awake and stay sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your enemy, Satan, walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. I don't think Paul began that verse by accident, be sober, be vigilant, and then say the devil walks around like a roaring lion. See, if I'm awake, if I'm sober, if I'm vigilant, I've got the armor of God on, ain't no lion taking me out. Ain't no lion coming in and taking my kids. Listen, Proverbs 25:28 says that a man without self-control is like a city without walls. City without walls, the enemy can come in and take whatever he wants. And so if I don't have self-control, who's going to come in and steal my family? Who's going to come in and show affection to my wife because I'm caught up in what I want to do? Who's going to father my kids? Disney? Do you hear me? A man without self-control is like a city without walls. We have to be strong-willed. willed. And many people say, I can't. I've tried to overcome these things. I've tried to overcome just maybe one of these examples that I gave. I've tried to stop so many times. How do I do it? I've got good news, friend. You just surrender. You just abdicate the control of your life over to Jesus. You relinquish your power to somebody else. Let Christ have the power of your will. Let God's word, let the Holy Spirit have influence over your will. I'm not trying to beat anybody up this morning. I want to help you grow stronger and stronger. And to do that, sometimes we have to deal with our sin. To grow stronger and stronger, we've got to deal with our sin. And we're saying, as a church, come in here and let's help. Come in here and let's help. Jesus never looked at anybody and said, go clean yourself up and then come back to me. Jesus said, come on in. Come in and then go and sin no more. Come in, invite me in, and I will help you get cleaned up. I never meant for you to do this on your own. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to help you become stronger and stronger, because 1 John chapter 2 clearly shows us that our relationship with God cannot be strong if we walk in our sin. It cannot be strong. Our faith, our love will not grow stronger if we don't walk in ongoing repentance. Repentance. Repentance, Greek word metanoia, literally means to change the way that you think. Repentance means change the way that you think. Well, change the way that I think about what? About everything. I am a person who is constantly walking in repentance. And I'm constantly changing the way that I think to what God thinks. I'm constantly letting the word wash my mind so that I have the mind of God, so that I focus on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. And so repentance means think on these things, Philippians 4 tells us. Think on these things. Think on godly things. Think on the kingdom. Not on flesh, not on what makes you feel good, but think on Him. You don't have the willpower to overcome everything on your own. You will be defeated without the help of the Spirit. We have to use the power of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, many times we use this verse. The Spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. What I want to say to you this morning is don't amplify the weakness of your flesh. Amplify the strength of your spirit. Don't amplify the weakness of the flesh. Amplify the strength of your spirit. Because I have heard people use this verse as an excuse to sin. Use this verse as an excuse. The Spirit is strong, but my flesh is weak, man. It's so weak. Okay, I get it. Our flesh is really weak. But understand that His Spirit is so much stronger than the weakness of your flesh. And His Spirit is on the inside of you. His Spirit is so much stronger than how weak my flesh is. And He can help me overcome everything. He can help me overcome every time. He's given me that choice. He's given me that power. Amplify the power that is in you. 1 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit of God does not give us a spirit of fear, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on. Listen, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and you don't think He can't help your porn problem? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and you don't think He can't help you overcome your anger problem? Man, that's a powerful Spirit. We're talking about God here. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The key to a strong will is surrendering your will. To give up control of your life. You can't white-knuckle the steering wheel. Don't white-knuckle the steering wheel through life and just try harder and try harder and try harder. You got to let the wheel go. You got to let the wheel go. Carrie Underwood song, you know what I'm saying? Jesus, take the wheel. I'm not going to sing it because it would be terrible. But seriously, let the steering wheel go and let God take control. Let Him be in the driver's seat. And I want to challenge you with this. Don't try harder. Get closer. Don't try harder. Get closer. Get on your knees before your Father. He will change you, I promise. If you will spend time in prayer, He will change your heart. He will give you power to overcome. If you spend time, listen, when I first wake up in the morning, one of my prayers is, God, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20, God, it's not about me today. I'm crucifying my flesh right now. Josh Barnett is a dead man. Josh Barnett is dead. Jesus makes all the decisions. Jesus makes every decision. God, I give it all to you today. how I treat my kids, how I treat my wife, how I treat the cashier at Walmart that's really slow, how I treat the lady at the bank that doesn't understand what I'm talking about. God, I give it all to you today. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm not going to fly off the handle. God, when I'm real frustrated, I'm not going to veg out and watch TV. I'm going to be intentional with my family. God, give me the power to do that today. I want to raise my family. I want to be a light to my community. I want to be a city on a hill. I don't want to just be stronger and stronger. I want to help other people be stronger and stronger. I want to close with these thoughts. We have to have a strong will to bring God's will to earth as it is in heaven. We have to have a strong will to bring God's will to earth as it is in heaven. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on his knees, sweating drops of blood because he is so stressed. He's so burdened. And he says, God, if you can take this cup, let it pass from me. But not my will, Lord. Not my will, yours be done. Not my will in my family, God, but yours be done. Not my will in my marriage, God, but yours be done. Not my will in my business, Lord, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done every day of my life, God. Every day of my life. And we have got to move past, if we want to be stronger and stronger, where we're not just overcoming these sinful things and these temptations and then going back into it and having to come and cry at the altar again and going back into it. And we're just living this cycle and we think Jesus doesn't work for us. It's because we've never surrendered fully and said, God, I'm taking the hands off. Every decision I'm going to make is a decision that you want me to make. Every decision I make. And so we've got to move into a place where we have a strong will and we're bringing his will on earth. And that's our mission every day. We're not a miserable, lukewarm Christian, but we're on fire. And we're burning for the world to see. Are we bringing his will to the world around us, to our jobs, our homes, our schools, our community? Does it bother you that there is a place in your community, in your school, in your city, in your state, in your nation that his banner doesn't fly? Where is the man, where is the woman who stays up at night pacing her bedroom floor praying, not my will be done, yours be done, Father. Show me how to bring heaven. Show me how to bring heaven to earth every single day, God. It takes a strong will to surrender your will to the Father's will, but a strong will line up with the will at heaven. To hear my Father look at me one day and say, enter, good and faithful servant. Woo! That's far out going to weigh any cost or any sacrifice that I have to pay. And I'm not talking about working. I'm not talking about a religious works thing. I'm talking about relationship. If you will spend time on your knees before your Father, you'll want to do his will every day. If you'll spend time with him, you'll want to do his will every day. Joshua 24:15, he was standing in front of the Israelites. Many of them were choosing to turn their backs on God after all he had brought them through. Joshua stands up and says, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that our heart cry? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord no matter what's going on. As we end, Jesus didn't just die to save you from hell. He died to set you free from sin in this life right now. But I'm human. You don't know what I struggle with. I may not know what you're struggling with, but I know there's power in the name of Jesus. There's nothing too dirty. There's no prison, no chain too strong that the blood of my Jesus can't break. There's no one too lost to be found, no one too broken to be fixed. I don't care how dirty your sin is, the blood of Jesus is enough to set every captive free. Don't think when I die, I can be free, or when I die, then I can experience God's goodness and glory. No, we can experience it right now. We were given the invitation 2,000 years ago when Jesus stepped on the scene and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here's the guy that came to set you free. We've got to stop thinking, well, when I grow up or when I get married, when I finish college, when I make the money, when I get the house, that's got to stop. And your life has got to start right now. Right now. Jesus didn't die for someday. He died so that the door could be open, so that heaven could come to earth right now, so that we could bring His will on earth as it is in heaven. Will you stand with me this morning? I want to end with some worship here. We've got a few minutes. I just want to worship as a church, and whatever you're struggling with, what maybe anything that you're going through, I just want you to just sing these words out and understand that the name of Jesus is a powerful name, and that He didn't want heaven without us. So He brought heaven to us in this life right now. He came to bring us life and life more abundantly right now. And I just want to sing song of thanksgiving for Him. I want you to confess maybe anything that you're struggling with right now. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the power to overcome, so that you can overcome, so that we can leave these doors and we can burn bright for the world. And we can say, listen, He can set you free because He set me free. Amen. Let's worship here. I'm going to pray as we begin this song. God, we love You so much. Lord, we thank You that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of You, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would fill us up right now with Your presence so that we could have Your will, God, so that we would know Your love. God, right now, I just pray over anyone in this place struggling with something. I ask that You would fill them with Your grace and Your love and Your mercy, and that You would show them that there is freedom in the name of Jesus.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.